There's two different ways that we're going to be able to do this. Most of the time we're going to use the computer. The computer will give us an R value and it will also give us a P value. Same rules as ANOVA. If P is less than 0.05, reject the null. If P is greater than 0.05, retain the null. When you're doing things by hand, you will once again have a computed correlation and a critical value that you'll look up from the table. There's one important difference between correlation on the one hand and Fs and chi-squares on the other. Correlations can have negative values. So you have to make sure that you compare the absolute value of the R with the critical R. That's what those two little bars mean. It means the absolute value. And so, if I have an R critical of 0.45 and I have an R of negative 0.75, am I going to retain or reject the null? Reject. The absolute value of R is larger than the critical value. 0.75 is farther away from zero than is 0.45. Okay? Make sure that you're paying attention to and giving credit to the relationship. Another way of approaching that same question is to ask. So this is a correlation of 0.35. This is a correlation of negative 0.75. Which of those shows the stronger linear relationship? The negative 0.75. It's closer to 1. Right? The sign and the size are two different things. The sign tells you the direction of the relationship. The size tells you the strength of the relationship. How are we doing? Got to pay attention to both pieces. It's just like when we do an analysis of variance. We got a treatment and a control. We got a mean here of 10 and a mean here of 20. We have the question of whether or not there's a difference. How much of a difference? 10 points. What direction? Because you'd certainly interpret 10 and 20 different than you'd interpret 20 and 10. Does that make sense? So there's always both the sign of the effect and the size of the effect. Make sure you get both. Oops. The research hypothesis was that younger adolescents would be more polite. Younger adolescents will be more polite. Am I expecting a positive, no, or a negative relationship here? Younger goes with more. Negative. Does that make sense? Younger, now who hypothesized this I'll never know, but that's okay. A sample of 84 adolescents were asked their age and to complete the politeness quotient questionnaire. I got an obtained R of 0.453, a critical R of 0.254. Always do it in two pieces. Do the null first and then the research hypothesis. Do these data lead you to retain or to reject the null? Reject. Now, do these data support the research hypothesis? Do we have a relationship? Is it positive or negative? Negative. Is that what we expected? No tricks this time. You guys have gotten gunshot. This one was funnier when I was younger. The research hypothesis was that older professors would receive lower student course evaluations. A sample of 124 introductory psych students from 12 different sections completed the student evaluation. Prof's ages were obtained. We get an R of negative 0.352. I got a p-value of 0.431. Retain or reject the null? Retain. And what that means is that this correlation from my sample is not big enough to believe. It's not big enough to trust. It's not big enough to act as if there's a relationship in the population. You with me? So we are going to retain the null. And if we retain the null and say that there is no relationship in the population, do these data give us support for the research hypothesis? No, because we expected a negative relationship. Here's the table that we get every time. It reminds us that we are making a decision. And when we make a decision, that decision may be right or that decision may be wrong. And the language for talking about this is highly circumscribed, and you only get 5 words, and you have to use them properly. Either we're in the corners, correct null hypothesis rejection and pattern. We thought it was negative and it is. We thought it was positive and it is. Or a correct null retention. We didn't think there was any effect. There's not. And there's 3 ways to be wrong. Same as before. A false alarm. We think we found something when there's nothing there. A miss. There's something there. We missed it. Our study didn't find an existing effect. And finally, a type 3, a misspecification. We thought we found something. What we found is backwards from what was actually there in the population. And another reminder that we never really know what's in the population. What we really mean is in the majority of the literature. Other people have looked at this relationship before and they have found things. Do our data match the existing conforming data? Causal interpretation. When you're doing chi-squares and when you're doing ANOVAs, you have to carefully read the design to see if the results are causally interpretable or not. When you're reading a correlation, most of the time you don't have to worry about it. It's not that you can't analyze true experimental data with a correlation and causally interpret it, because you can. Anytime the results come from a true experiment, random assignment, manipulation, no confounding, it doesn't matter what statistical model you use. You find an association, it's causal. The reason you don't have to worry in correlation is that, remember, correlation is with 2 quantitative variables. And typically, when you have a quantitative variable, you've measured it, not manipulated it. Does that make sense? Most of the time when we manipulate something, we manipulate the kinds of a categorical variable, not the quantity of a quantitative variable. Now, if we ran a study where we had, say, the number of practices, and we had 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 practices, and we randomly assigned people to one of these 5 groups, and then we looked at percent correct performance, and we plot the data, and we find a correlation we got p less than 0.05, retain or reject the null, p less than 0.05. Reject. Do we have a relationship between practice and performance? Yes. If we randomly assigned people to practice conditions, manipulated practice conditions faithfully and well, maintain ongoing equivalence, do we have a true experiment? Yes. Can I interpret that correlation causally? Yes. The phrase correlation does not imply causality needs to be stored in your head as mere statistical association does not guarantee causality. That phrase has nothing to do with Pearson's product moment correlation. The problem is that phrase is very old, and it comes from a time when the word correlation was used to mean relationship. They would actually talk about correlations between people. It wasn't a statistical term, it was just a damn word. Causal interpretability is not a function of the statistic, it is completely and totally a function of the research design. When you're doing things by hand, mostly you're going to see our 2 friends, sum of x and sum of x squared. For the x variable and for the y variable, and the new thing that you're going to have to learn to compute is called a product term. We take a person's x score times their y score and it gives us an xy cross product term, and we add those up. So you're going to need to work with sum of x and x squared, sum of y and y squared, and the sum of the cross products. The other symbol that you'll see and need to know is total n. One nice thing about correlation is there's not both little n and big n to keep track of, just total number of people in the study. All right, let's turn our attention to chi-square.